You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Seerah, Life of the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Qalam is pleased to announce that admissions for the next Qalam seminary intake are now open. For more information, please visit qalaminstitute.org.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, continuing with our series on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Siratul Nabawiyyah, the prophetic biography. In the previous session, we talked about, in the last few sessions, we've been talking about the Battle of Badr, specifically addressing the events leading up to the Battle of Badr and some of what transpired in the days right before Badr, like how the Muslims ended up there in the battlefield, and also the Quraysh with its army marching towards the place of Badr. In the previous session, we talked about the night before and the preparations for the actual battle itself and the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and aid them and protect them on the day of Badr. Today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the actual commencement of the battle itself. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he writes something very beautiful. He says, "Hada waqad tawajjaha al-fi'atan." He says, keeping all of this in mind, now the two armies are in the battlefield facing against one another. وَتَقَابَلَ الْفَرِيقَانِ They are faced off and ready to go. وَحَذَرَ الْخَصْمَانِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الرَّحْمَانِ And all of this is, of course, happening before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَغَاثَ بِرَبِّهِ سَيِّدُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of all the prophets, he has very emphatically asked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and assistance. وَضَجَّ الصَّحَابَةُ بِصُنُوفِ الدُّعَاءِ And the sahaba have been loudly proclaiming their du'as of all different types, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and for tawfiq and for protection. إِلَى رَبِّ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ سَمِعِ الدُّعَاءِ وَكَاشِفِ الْبَلَاءِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only the one who listens to the du'a of the one who turns to Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who removes adversity and difficulty from the one who makes du'a to Allah. And right before the commencement of the battle, the first few casualties that were suffered on that day, the very first casualty was actually on the side of the mushrikun. There was an individual by the name of Al-Aswad bin Abd al-Asad al-Makhzumi. And so what he basically did was he swore to the idols, to the rest of the people on the side of the Quraysh, he swore to the idols, I will walk over to the Muslim side and I will basically do whatever it is that I want to do and nobody will have the courage to stop me. And he was known to be كان رجلا شرسا سيء الخلق. That he was somebody who was سيء الخلق, excuse me. He was somebody who was very temperamental. He was somebody who was known to have very bad, very ill character. So he came over to the side of the Muslims and started approaching towards that side. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, drew his sword and walked towards him and basically struck him down before he could reach the ranks of the Muslims. This was the first casualty that was suffered on this particular day. The next couple of casualties that were suffered were on the side of the Muslims, and this was basically because of the mushrikun, the Quraysh. What they started to do was they started launching arrows. Before the battle had actually started, they started launching arrows, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had told the Muslims at that time that do not shoot your arrows back, don't waste arrows, but just wait very patiently, only strike them once they come within range of you. So nevertheless, when the Quraysh started launching their arrows, they were still very far away, so it's not like that they were, causing major casualties to the Muslims. But nevertheless, it's mentioned that there were two sahaba, two companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who were struck by two arrows. One of them, as he was nearing one of the wells to drink water from there, and he was struck down at that time by an arrow. And another one of them, as he was standing within the ranks of the Muslims, waiting for the battle to actually commence, that at that time, an arrow ended up striking him, and he also fell at that time due to that. So these were the first two Muslim casualties. And of course, that is exactly what we call a shaheed, a martyr, somebody who gives their life in the defense of Islam, in fighting on behalf of Islam, and somebody who dies such a death in the battlefield. It's mentioned about one of them actually that when he fell, when he was struck by one of the arrows and he fell, later on, his mother actually came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the Sahaba who was the first to die, and his mother asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, what happened with my son? I want you to tell me, what is the situation of my son? What happened to my son? She said, because if he is in paradise, then of course I'm happy and I'm pleased and there's nothing more I could ask for. But she said that if he is not in paradise, then I will cry and I will lament. And she became very emotional. She said that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see what it is that I will do, meaning that I will cry and I will scream and I will, mourn his death. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he addressed her and he said, Wayhaki, he said, what are you talking about? Ahabilti, have you lost your mind? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't reprimanding her so much about her saying what she was saying, because he understood that this is a mother, she's just lost her son, and so she's very emotional due to the fact that she's lost her son. But rather the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told her that, you talk about your son being in paradise. He mentioned to her that there are eight, فَإِنَّهَا جِنَانٌ ثَمَانٍ, there are eight gates of paradise. And he told her that, and your son is in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. He is in the highest levels and highest stages of paradise. So these were the first two. There were two Sahaba who basically were the first two in the battlefield, to fall due to stray air being hit by and being struck by two stray arrows from the side of the mushrikun. Now, after this particular point, it's mentioned, and the Quran basically alludes to this as well. There are narrations in Bukhari which talk about the fact that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alluding to, in those, ayat. But, هَذَانِ خَصْمَانِ اِخْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ, right? And other such similar ayat of that nature, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But nevertheless, once a little bit of this back and forth had happened, then at that particular time, it's mentioned that Utbah bin Rabi'ah, who was one of the leaders of the Quraysh, along with his brother Shayba, and then his son Walid. So Utbah bin Rabi'ah, his brother Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, and then Utbah bin Rabi'ah's son Walid bin Utbah. These three basically walked out from the ranks of the disbelievers and stood in the middle of the battlefield, and then they called that, send out three people from amongst you to fight us. We will start the battle. So at that particular time, it's mentioned in the narrations that three of the Ansar, they walked out. And the three Ansar, meaning three Sahaba from the Medinan community, three Ansaris, they walked out. They were Auf and Mu'awwidh. Some narrations mention his name as Mu'adh. Auf and Mu'adh, who were both the sons of Al-Harith, and their mother's name was Afra. And specifically, they were raised by their mother, and so they were known as Ibna Afra, the two sons of Afra. They were known as being very young, brave, valiant men. So these two young men, they stepped out, and the third one was Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Abdullah bin Rawaha, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was a poet, and somebody who was known for being a very brave soldier. He was a great fighter. They stepped out. When these three stepped out, then Utbah shouted back at them. He said, Man antum? Who are you people? They said, Rahtum min al-Ansar. We are a group from the Ansar, from the Medinan Muslims. So Utbah said back to them, Ma lana bikum min haja? We have nothing to do with you people. Rather, he said that, Akhriju ilayna min bani ammina. Sent out to us our own cousins. send out our cousins to us, meaning the same people who left our religion, who defied us, who disrespected us, who we have a problem with, who ran away from their homes and their families, send them out to us. We want to deal with them. أَخْرِجُوا إِلَيْنَا مِنْ بَنِي عَمِّنَا. وَنَادَى مُنَادِيهِمْ, and Utbah said to, called out at that time, يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَخْرِجْ إِلَيْنَا أَكْفَاءَنَا مِنْ قَوْمِنَا. He said, يَا مُحَمَّدْ, send out to us our own equals from our own people. So there was a hint of arrogance here, where they're like, what are we going to fight you farmers for? Sent out our own people, people that, you know, are of equal status to us. Don't humiliate us by sending out these people to us. So that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned back around to the group of the Sahaba and he said, قُمْ يَا عُبَيْدَةَ بْنُ الْحَادِثِ. عُبَيْدَةُ بْنُ الْحَادِثِ radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His عُبَيْدَةُ بْنُ الْحَادِثِ, عُبَيْدَة, the son of Harith, the son of Abdul Muttalib. So Ubaidah ibn al-Harith was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's a Qurayshi. Waqum ya Hamza, and he said, stand up, O Hamza. Waqum ya Ali, and Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So these three were called out: Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, and lastly and finally it was Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So these three stood up and basically went out there. One of the interesting narrations that Ibn Ishaq mentions, فَلَمَّا دَنَوْ مِنْهُمْ قَالُوا مَنْ أَنْتُمْ. Even when these three went out into the middle of the two armies, where Utbah, Shayba, and Walid were waiting to fight them, they said, who are you people? To Hamza, to Ubaidah, to Ali, even though they're related to them. So from this, Ibn Kathir, rahmahullahu ta'ala, extrapolates, وَهَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُلَبَّسِينَ لَا يُعْرَفُونَ مِنَ السِّلَاحِ. That basically what happened was that proves that they were wearing either some type of armor or they had their faces wrapped up. So he just extrapolates from this. So Ubaidah answers that, Ubaidah, this is Ubaidah. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him that this is Hamza, and similarly Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu identified himself. So at that time he said, Na'am akfa'un kiram. Yes, these are equal opponents. One of the very interesting narrations, and again, it kind of shows you that, you know, this was battle, this was warfare, and so you have to employ strategies of battle and warfare. All right? Everything kind of has a place and a time. So one of the narrations mentions that when they went out there, Utbah said to them, تَكَلَّمُوا نَعْرِفْكُمْ. Speak up so we can identify who you are, because they had their faces wrapped up. So Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, أَنَا أَسَدُ اللَّهِ وَأَسُدَ رَسُولِهِ. He said that, I am the lion of Allah and the lion of the messenger of Allah, and Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So Utbah said, Kuf'un Kareem. Okay, fine, you're an equal. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ana Abdullahi wa akhu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the slave of Allah and the brother of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning I'm his cousin, I'm very close to him, I'm the brother of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ubaidah ibn Harith, he said, Ana alladhi fil hulafa. That I am from those people who has given the oath of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَامَ كُلُّ رَجُلٍ إِلَى رَجُلٍ. So then they basically lined up against one another. And at that particular time, it specifically even mentions that Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the youngest from amongst the three, he was even younger than Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu at this time, he stood across from Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. So even though Utbah bin Rabi'ah was the eldest amongst them, but Ubaidah ibn Harith stood across from him. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood across from Shayba, the brother, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood across from Walid, the son of Utbah. And basically that's when they started fighting, just these three, these six basically, three on three if you will. And that's when they started fighting. At that particular time, Hamza and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, they struck down Shayba and Walid immediately. Like Shayba and Walid were not even able to raise their swords before Hamza and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma struck them both down. And Utbah and Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they basically both struck one another. And the narration specifically mentions that they both severely injured one another. They both basically served the other with a fatal blow. So they both struck each other very, very seriously. And now that Hamza and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu were done with their opponents, and they turned and they saw Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu fall, so they basically then dispersed of Utbah and pretty much killed him on the spot. At that particular time, Ali and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu picked up Ubaidah ibn Harith, their fallen companion. They picked up Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu and they carried him back to the ranks of the believers. When they carried him back, he was very severely injured, right? It was a fatal blow. He was very, very severely injured and he was bleeding out and dying from that injury. So they carried him and they took him back all the way to the Prophet ﷺ. At the beginning of the battle, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ was still in that tent that was constructed for him, and he was still making dua over there. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ stood up and started praying salah. He stood up and started praying. He had been making the dua, as I talked about last time, where he raised his hands and was so seriously making dua, so emphatically, you know, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking to Allah, that the shawl fell off of his shoulders, and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu picked up the shawl and covered his shoulders and consoled him, that ba'da munashidatika rabbika ya Rasulallah, that Allah has accepted your dua, O Messenger of Allah. That the Prophet ﷺ, at this time when the battle started, now he stood up and he started in salah, engaged in prayer, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help and his assistance and his protection, and asking Allah to send his assistance. So the Prophet ﷺ was still in there in the tent making dua at that time, and Ali and Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu walk in with Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu seriously bleeding and seriously injured. They put him down, they laid him down next to the Prophet ﷺ, and the narration mentions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the head of Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he put it in his lap. He took the head of Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he put it in his lap and he began to comfort Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu and making dua for him. And at that particular time, while his head was in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ubaidah ibn Harith said something extremely beautiful. Very, very beautiful. I mentioned this a long, long time ago, in the podcast, quite some time ago in the Meccan era, when Abu Talib was still alive, and when Abu Jahl and some of the people of the Quraysh started kind of getting people together against the Prophet ﷺ and launched a lot of propaganda against the Prophet ﷺ to make the leaders of the Quraysh turn against the Prophet ﷺ and even convince the family of the Prophet ﷺ, Banu Hashim, to give him up, to release him from their protection, so that they could basically murder him or assassinate him. Abu Talib, realizing the danger of the situation at that time, he had gone to the people, he stood up in the Kaaba, and he said, Ya Bani Hashim, he called out to the family of Banu Hashim, he called out to the family, Ya Bani Abdul Muttalib, O children of Abdul Muttalib. And at that time, he had made a very, very emotional plea, that whether you agree with Muhammad or you do not, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether you agree with him or you don't, are we really going to hand over one of our sons, one of our own people, to these people and let them kill him and create this type of bloodshed and this precedent? Where's your honor? Where's your dignity? Abu Talib was a very intelligent man in that sense. So what he was doing was, he realized that fine, you know, they don't believe in the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They might not even like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the one thing that a lot of these people in Makkah still respect is that tribal pride. They have a lot of tribal pride. So he basically leveraged that tribal pride that they had, and he used that to settle this issue that no, we will not allow Abu Jahl to just, you know, in cold blood murder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if we don't agree with Muhammad, we're not going to allow them to do that. So that's what had happened at that time. So now, referring back to that, so Abu Talib, what he had done at that time, he had said some ash'ar, he had said some couplets and some poetry, and I mentioned it here in the class. And so Ubaidah ibn Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's lying there with his head in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dying from this wound that he's received. And at that time he looks up at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulallah, law ra'ani Abu Talib la'alima anni ahaqqu biqawlihi. لَوْ رَآنِي أَبُو طَالِبْ لَعَلِمَ أَنِّي أَحُقُّ بِقَوْلِهِ. That if Abu Talib saw me here right now, he would know that I kept his word. Meaning, I realized what he had said that day. And he quoted the shi'r of Abu Talib. He said, وَنُسْلِمُهُ حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ وَنَذْهَلُ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ. Which basically, in the couplet of the poetry that he quoted there, it means that we will not surrender Muhammad. We will not surrender Muhammad. حَتَّى نُصَرَّعَ حَوْلَهُ. Until we are all killed around him, defending him. وَنَذْهَلُ عَنْ أَبْنَائِنَا وَالْحَلَائِلِ. And we would first forget about our own families. We would first leave our own families unprotected, ever before we would leave Muhammad unprotected. So he quoted that couplet of Abu Talib, and he said, if Abu Talib was here today, he would have attested to the fact, I kept that promise. I gave my life for you, Ya Rasulullah. I would not let anything hurt you, but I would give my life for you. And at that time, this was the last thing he said to the Prophet ﷺ, and then he passed away in the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. And as he breathed his last, the Prophet ﷺ looked down at him and he said, "Ashhadu annaka shahidun." I bear witness that you are a martyr, you are a shaheed. I bear witness that you are a shaheed. And so, I forgot to mention this earlier. Yes, so the two Sahaba who were the first to die, so this is the third now, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. The first two Sahaba who died because of the stray arrows, the first one was Mihjah. His name was Mihjah. It's kind of a strange name because he was not Arab. He was a freed slave of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Mihjah used to be a slave who had become Muslim, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had purchased his freedom and basically set him free. And the second one was Haritha ibn Suraqa. Haritha, the son of Suraqa. And it was Haritha, the son of Suraqa. This hadith is in the Sahihain in Bukhari and Muslim, that his mother came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the one who asked about what will happen to my son. And that's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innaha jinanun thamanin wa inna ibnaki asab al-firdaus al-a'la." That there are 8 gates of paradise, but your son is in Jannat al-Firdaus al-a'la. He is in the highest stages of paradise. So this is basically how the battle initially commenced. And as I referenced earlier, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he would tell the story of the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Badr was a very, of course, it's a huge event. It's something we talk about even till today, right? It's a story that's told. It's something that is recounted even till today. Well, the Sahaba were the same way. So in the generation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Tabi'un came, or the younger Sahaba came later on, the Sahaba who had witnessed the Battle of Badr, people used to seek them out, Ashabu Badr. The Ashab of Badr, the people who participated in Badr, were known to be very special. And I'm going to be talking about this at the end of our discussion of the Battle of Badr. What are the virtues of the people who participated in the Battle of Badr? And their names are fully accounted for. All 313 of them, their names are fully mentioned. Not just in any book of hadith or any book of sirah. Imam Bukhari has listed all 313 names of the people who participated in the Battle of Badr. Because these were a very, very special group of people. So people used to seek them out to hear the story of the Battle of Badr from them directly. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever he would tell the story of the Battle of Badr, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, that أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُقْسِمُ قَسَمًا. He used to take an oath. He would say, Wallahi, أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ هَذَانِ خَصْمَانِ اِخْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ. He said that this ayah nazalat fi Hamza wa sahibihi wa Utba wa sahibihi yawm barazu fi Badr. That the day that Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his two companions, Ubaidah ibn al-Harith and Ali ibn Abi Talib, when they walked out from the ranks into the battlefield and they were met by Utba and his two buddies, his brother Shayba and his son Walid, and when these three fought those three, this ayah was revealed about that particular incident. So after this basically happened, the narrations mention that at this time, the two armies, they came close to one another, they encroached on one another, and basically the battle commenced, the battle started at this particular time. And one of the interesting things that Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had basically given the Sahaba kind of like a battle cry or a rallying cry. You know, like even today, sometimes you see with like, maybe you'll see it like in sports or something like that, that there's something that the team will chant or something that they'll say to kind of motivate one another, right? So in that sense, in battle, they have a battle cry or a rallying cry, something that the group says to kind of, you know, motivate one another and keep everyone kind of encouraged and motivated, let everybody know that don't worry, you're still surrounded by your people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ja'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shi'ar al-muhajirina biyawm badr ya bani Abdurrahman. That they basically were saying ya bani Abdurrahman, ya bani Abdurrahman. So anytime somebody would say ya bani Abdurrahman, all the muhajirun would answer. And the shi'ar of the Khazraj, that was one of the major tribes of the Ansar, their shi'ar was ya bani Abdullah. So when you would say, Ya Bani Abdullah, all the Sahaba of the Khazraj would answer. And then for the Aus, Shi'arul Aus, when the Sahaba, the Ansari Sahaba who belonged to the tribe of Aus, they would be called by Ya Bani Ubaidillah. Ya Bani Ubaidillah. When somebody would say, Ya Bani Ubaidillah, then all the Aus Sahaba would answer. And the cavalry, basically the few Sahaba who were riding on horses, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had named them Khaylullah. Khaylullah, the horses of Allah, the cavalry of Allah. And Ibn Hisham in his seerah, he mentions that كان شعار الصحابة يوم بدر أحد أحد. That they would answer with أحدٌ أحد. So when they would say, like regularly the Prophet ﷺ would call out to them, and he would say, يا بني عبد الرحمن, then all the muhajirun would say أحدٌ أحد. And then he would say, يا بني عبد الله, and all the Khazraji Sahaba would say أحدٌ أحد. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Ya Bani Ubaidillah, then all the Sahaba from Aus, they would say, Ahadun Ahad. So in this manner, they basically proceeded into the battlefield. Now, this is one of the interesting things. So when they initially proceeded into the battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal, and as I mentioned, one of the things we're going to do at the end of our study of the Battle of Badr is go through extensively the beginning part of Surah Al-Anfal, because that completely lays out the Battle of Badr. And at that time, you'll be able to see what the ayat are talking about. But this, the ayah number 9 and 10, Allah says, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ, when you were seeking assistance from your Lord and your Master, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ, and He answered your call for assistance, أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ, that I will aid you with 1,000 angels, one riding after another. مُرْدِفِين. إِرْدَافِ Radifa, radifun is basically what you call a passenger. So the person that rides on the back of the animal is called radif. Murdifin means one of two things. And the mufassirun mentioned both of these things. One narration is that it mentions that each and every single horse, so when the malaika, and I'll be talking more about the malaika, the angels coming down into the battlefield, but when they came down into the battlefield, they were riding horses. And one meaning of murdifin is that every angel that was riding a horse, there was an angel sitting behind him on the horse. So there were two angels per horse. The other meaning of murdifin is that no, there was only one angel per horse, but what happens is that when the cavalry, when in the battlefield you are riding your horses together, when the cavalry comes in, if the horses are riding very close to one another, they're moving like a singular unit, right? They're very closely riding together. It's a strategy. That it looks, if you look at them very quickly, you would almost think that they're all riding. There's multiple riders on each and every single horse because of how closely they're riding. One other thing that they mention is that the way that they ride is that each, basically every two horses next to one another are a little bit apart, and there will be, the next row of horses will actually be about halfway through. So what they do is that they're basically all interlocked like this. And that's how they ride. So one forward, one backward, one forward, one backward, one forward, one backward. And about halfway there. And so they all ride in that manner. And so if you look at them from the side, you would actually think that there's two per horse. But again, it's a strategy of how they ride and how they attack. So some of the Mufassirun mentioned that Murdifin doesn't mean that there were two angels on every horse. It just means that every angel had his own horse amongst the thousand, but they were riding down, coming down from the sky. That's how they were riding down. So it looked like that there were multiple angels riding on each and every single horse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Allah did not make this happen except as a congratulations or as a blessing from Allah. وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ بِهِ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And so that your hearts would find full comfort and solace and tranquility in this. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And the help is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dominant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, basically this ayah alludes to the fact, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. Remember when you were calling out to Allah, to your Lord and your Master Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is engaged in dua, and we talked about the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Badr. So I told you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making this dua the night before Badr, but the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he continued making this dua on to the day of Badr, and even once the battle had commenced and started. So one of the things I mentioned to you was that the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this particular time was standing and started to even perform salah to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and assistance. During this time, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the narration from Dala'ilun Nubuwa of Imam al-Bayhaqi rahimullahu ta'ala, he mentions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says the battle had commenced. And I was out there in the battlefield, right? Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stood him up, Qum ya Ali, and sent him out for that initial face-off, that showdown, before the battle started. And then once the battle actually commenced, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retreated to the tent. He went back to the tent for now. But I'll be talking about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did after that. Initially in the beginning, because now this is the critical moment, this is when these two armies are now clashing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to go make dua. And I will be explaining about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on came into the battlefield. And I want to kind of give that its own right, and I want to mention that properly. But real quickly here, just so nobody gets the wrong idea, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kind of like backed off of the fight, and he went to go there and pray while everybody else was fighting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after making his dua, and I'll mention the narrations, it's very beautiful and powerful. It does talk about kana yathibu fi dar'i. They mentioned that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was done with his dua and he saw the angels coming down from the heavens, from the sky, and he knew that the nusra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sahaba say, the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was protecting him, right? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam jumped up. He jumped, and he said that he ran into the battlefield. يَثِبُ فِي الدِّرْعِ. Right? That armor is so heavy that you can't really move in it. He said the Prophet ﷺ was like leaping. He wasn't even walking, he wasn't running, it was like he was galloping, he was leaping in the armor. And Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that on the day of Badr, when the fighting became very intense, we used to look for the Prophet ﷺ and we used to go hide behind him. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so brave, and the way he would walk all the way to the front and stand out there at the front line, you know, with his chest out, that we used to actually go and stand behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just, I wanted to mention that so nobody gets the wrong idea. But so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for now, because he knows this is the crucial moment, the critical moment, I need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come down from the heavens right now, visibly, actually, physically. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes back to make his dua. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu says the fighting started. And I was out there. قَاتَلْتُ شَيْئًا مِّن قِتَالٍ. I fought for a little while. ثُمَّ جِئْتُ مُسْرِعًا. Then I ran from there. I fought for a while. And then I ran لِأَنْذُرَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا فَعَلْ. To go and check on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's he doing? Is he okay? Is everything all right? Like that panic. Right, that love that the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I fought for a while and then I ran to go check on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, فَجِئْتُ فَإِذَا هُوَ سَاجِدٌ يَقُولُ. I saw him in sujood, in sajda, with his face on the ground. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ. And he was saying, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ. يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ. يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّمُ. Over and over again he was saying. Ya Hayyu, one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever-living. Ya Qayyum, the one who maintains everything. The one who maintains everything. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. La yazidu alayha. He wasn't saying any more than this. فَرَجَعْتُ إِلَى الْقِتَالِ So then what I did was I went back to the fighting. ثُمَّ جِئْتُ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ يَقُولُ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا Then I came back after fighting for a while and I looked at him again, I checked on him again, and again he was in sujood saying the same thing. فَذَهَبْتُ إِلَى الْقِتَالِ So I went back to fight again for the third time. ثُمَّ جِئْتُ Then after a while I needed to check on him again. So I came back to check on him. وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ يَقُولُ ذَلِكَ أَيْضًا And again I found him still in sajda, still saying the same exact thing. Now I want you to keep in mind, right? Somebody is fighting in the battlefield. Right? That's not like, you know, walking across... It's not like walking to your living room or something. We're not talking about like 30 seconds or a minute or whatever. Like, let me just go check on what's going on over there. That's not the same thing. He goes to the battlefield, he fights, and then he leaves the battlefield and comes and he checks on the Prophet. He's in sujood. Then he goes back and he fights. Then he comes back after some time and he's still in sajda, still saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Then again he goes back to the battlefield and fights. And then again he leaves the battlefield and comes and checks and he's still in sajda saying, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Hatta fatah Allahu ala yadihi. And the Prophet ﷺ kept doing this until Allah granted the victory. Meaning the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And how did the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? Of course we talked about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels into the battlefield. What's very, very fascinating and interesting about the angels coming down into the battlefield is that some of the people who were on the side of the mushrikun on that particular day, who later on accepted Islam and later on they became Muslim, they actually talk about what they saw on that day. One of them is Hakim bin Hizam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is of course the cousin of Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so he says that on that day of Badr, I saw that the entire sky had become dark. Like he's, what he describes is that, he said it looked like as if there was like a shawl or a blanket or a cloak that was put over the sky. And only later did I realize that these were angels that were riding down into the battlefield. 1,000 angels came riding their horses down into the battlefield. And specifically it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah mentions 1,000 angels coming down into the battlefield. And one of the narrations actually explained this by mentioning the fact that there were 500, right, in war strategy they would call what was the mujannaba, right? Mujannaba is basically the flank of the army. Right, so when they talk about the flank of the army, there's the flank on the right side and the left side, the right flank and the left flank. Alright, so he said that on the right side there was a mujannaba, there were 500 angels on the right side of the army. And they were being led by Jibreel alayhi salam. And the Prophet ﷺ sent Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu onto that side. So it was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Jibreel alayhi salam leading 500 angels on the right flank of the army. On the left side, there were another 500 angels, and leading them was Mika'il alayhi salam. Mika'il alayhi salam. The angel Mika'il. And the Prophet ﷺ sent Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu onto that side. So it was the angel Mika'il and Ali bin Abi Talib leading 500 angels from the left flank. And one of the very interesting things that's mentioned about the Battle of Badr, that multiple narrations mention this, that in every single battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels for the comfort of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the comfort of the believers. But the only time that the angels actually fought in the battlefield was the Battle of Badr. It is the only time that the angels actually fought within the battlefield. So, at this particular point in time, the angels, they came into the battlefield and started to basically fight on behalf of the believers. And one of the mushrikun, it's who later on accepted Islam, he mentions very specifically that nobody from a human being. There was not a human being that had captured me. The one who captured me was not a human being. It was somebody who was wearing white clothes. And he rode down from the sky. He was very, very tall. He was huge, massive, humongous. And when I saw him, I immediately froze and became extremely intimidated. At that particular time, he took out some rope and he tied me up and then he left me there. He tied me up and he left me. He said a little while later, Abdurrahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came basically riding by in the battlefield and he saw me lying there just tied up. So he grabbed me, picked me up, and he took me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he took me to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, "Who is this prisoner of yours, Ya Abdurrahman? Who is this prisoner of yours?" And he said that I told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is not the one who tied me up. And then I described to him exactly who was the one who had tied me up. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ya Abdurrahman, khudh asirak." He said, "Go ahead and take, this is your prisoner, that's fine." Because the Prophet ﷺ understood from the description, this is an angel, so that's fine. Finders keepers, right? So you found him, you get to go, it's a gift from an angel to you. So you go ahead with your prisoner. So the angels came riding down into the battlefield and basically completely, wreaked havoc on the side and on the army of the mushrikun, of the Quraysh. At this particular time, there's a couple of very interesting stories that mention some of the bravery of the Sahaba, even in spite of all of this, the fact that the angels were helping them. They were still very, very brave people who were willing to do anything. There's a very famous narration that is mentioned about an Ansari Sahabi that Umayr bin al-Humam al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was encouraging the believers. He was motivating them. So he was saying, قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُومُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Go and stand up and fight for the paradise that is as vast as the heavens and the earth. And everybody was saying, yes, 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 na'am, na'am, na'am. And at that time, he says that I was sitting there eating some dates. I was sitting there eating some dates. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that paradise, and I heard him encouraging everyone saying at that time, that go to a paradise that is as vast as the heavens and the earth. When I heard him say this, and I was eating some dates, I hadn't eaten anything for days. And I was sitting there just eating a couple of dates, and I heard him say this, I looked down at the dates in my hand, and I thought to myself that the only thing standing between me and paradise are a few dates. And he said that at that time I said, bakhin, bakhin, right? Like, how amazing is that? And so I threw the dates aside and he ran into the battlefield, and started to fight. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at this particular time, after making all this dua, now that the angels had come down into the battlefield, now it mentions that part where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself got up from the place where he was making dua. And that's where it says, فَخَرَجَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُوَ يَثِبُ فِي الدِّرْعِ And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was literally leaping, wearing his armor. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ بَلِ السَّاعَةُ مَوْعِدُهُمْ وَالسَّاعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرُ That very soon the group will be defeated and they will turn their backs and run from the battlefield, and that hour, that appointment, that time is their fixed appointment. That time is coming, وَسَّعَةُ أَدْهَى وَأَمَرٍ, and it'll be really terrible for them. It'll be very, very difficult for them. This ayah is from Surah Al-Qamar. Alright, this ayah is from Surah Al-Qamar. And Surah Al-Qamar is a Makki ayah. So some people have even discussed, like, this is a Makki ayah, why is it mentioned here about the Battle of Badr? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells the story. He says, yes, this ayah was Makkan. It was revealed in Makkah. And he says, but I didn't understand this. I didn't understand this ayah when it was revealed in Makkah. We're hiding, we're praying in secret, where people are being killed, people are having to leave Makkah and live as refugees in Habasha in East Africa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, سَيُّهُزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ دُوَى. I believed it, but I didn't know what it was talking about. I had no idea what it was talking about. But I believed it. Allah said, very soon, the group will be defeated. But I just didn't know what that was referring to. And he says, أَيُّ جَمْعٍ يُهُزَمْ وَأَيُّ جَمْعٍ يُغْلَبْ. What group is this that will be defeated? What group is this that will be dominated? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, فَلَمَّا كَانَ يَوْمُ بَدْرٍ. When the day of Badr came, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَثِبُ فِي الدِّرْعِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرِ فَعَرَفْتُ تَأْوِيلَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ. And I saw the Prophet ﷺ leaping into the battlefield, screaming, سَيُهْزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرِ. That this is the time. And he said, then I understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told us in the days of Makkah. And that's part of even the reflection from that ayah. That in moments of difficulty, in moments of adversity, in moments where sometimes you have trouble seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, right? You have trouble understanding how is this. Okay, we believe the help of Allah will come and this will all work out. Right? There's probably people that feel that way throughout the world today. But at that time we constantly say, right? Allah is with the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is coming. And Allah's help will come. And relief and reprieve is coming for the believers. And that sometimes there's those moments where you think like, but I believe it. Or maybe some people are like, I want to believe it. But I don't see when, where, how, why. I just don't see how it'll come together. This incident from the Battle of Badr reminds us that the ayah revealed in Mecca, when the Muslims couldn't even show their faces in public. They lived in persecution. They lived in hiding. They lived as refugees. But now, we see the victory occurring. And angels riding from the heavens into the battlefield. And the tide is completely turning. That this was realized at that time. Now, at that time, nobody believes like the Sahaba believed. None of us believed the way the Sahaba believed. They are the standard. Right? So they had zero doubts about the fact if Allah said, سَيُهُزَمُ الْجَمْعُ, then it will happen. That the group will be defeated, then they will be defeated. No doubt about it. But even they couldn't have predicted that it would happen like this. That would happen when you are outnumbered 3-1. And it would happen when you don't have any type of preparation or armor or supplies. And it will happen with angels riding into the battlefield on the backs of horses. Nobody could have predicted that. But that is exactly what we believe in. That when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, and nothing can stand in its way. سَيُهُزَمُ الْجَمْعُ وَيُوَلُّونَ الدُّبُرُ. So, at this particular time, as I mentioned before, the angels rode into the battlefield and the tide completely started to turn. And the victory basically, was handed to the Muslims at this particular time through divine help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of all these angels riding into the battlefield. What we're going to be talking about, I'm going to go ahead and inshallah stop here for today. What we're specifically going to talk about next week inshallah is we'll be talking about some of the leaders of the Quraysh. One of the very interesting is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed of everyone who had come to fight in the battlefield that day, Utba, Shayba, right, Walid bin Utba, Abu Jahl, and Umayyah bin Khalaf, and the list goes on and on and on. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had even said on that day that akhrajat Quraysh ilayna akbadaha. That basically Quraysh has handed over its most valuable, its most precious items to us. That Quraysh has exposed itself. It has left itself vulnerable. Right, so we'll specifically talk about some of the key leaders of the Quraysh falling in the battlefield on the day of Badr and exactly how that happened and how that transpired. And that basically will lead us into talking about the conclusion of the Battle of Badr and how everything basically wrapped up from there, and what happened not only to conclude the Battle of Badr, but what happened immediately after the Battle of Badr. We'll be talking about all of that, inshallah, in the coming sessions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that was said and heard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a source of guidance, a source of inspiration, and a source of hope for us. A source of hope for us. We don't study the life of the Prophet ﷺ simply to appreciate our own history, or we don't simply do it to pat ourselves on the back, to feel a little bit better about being Muslim. We study the life of the Prophet ﷺ because it is the basis of our understanding of the religion of Islam. And it shows to us, you know, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates in this world, and how the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant to function and operate within our lives. In every facet and every aspect of our lives, through the good times and the bad. So again, take very seriously the study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even on your own time in the course of your own study. And again, I pray and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a very beneficial study for all of us. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.